Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Perfect. So thanks, Dan. So JD Hasna, I live in Boise, Idaho, and I am the founder and CEO of TA Builder.
Awesome. So can you tell me more about TA Builder, like how exactly you got the idea for it and what exactly you do with it?
Yeah, for sure. Great question. So back in 2017, I stepped out of the corporate world. I had two large roles with a pharmaceutical company based in Basel, Switzerland, and also a brokerage company, a large brokerage company. And I did staffing HR throughout about 12 years doing that. There was some changes at the pharmaceutical company. They sold off their over-the-counter division. And I thought that's a great opportunity for me to step out and start my own firm. So TA Builder, it's Talent Acquisition Builder. So we've been around about six or seven years now, and we support small to medium size or nonprofit businesses that need talent acquisition or recruiting services.
Awesome. So do you work with like a certain vertical or a certain part of the country? Like, you know, what does that kind of look like for your business?
We're agnostic. We believe people are people, right? The human capital model. So we believe our model folds into a technology space or real estate. But what we really focus is on startup SaaS companies, usually 10 million in annual recurring revenue or less, and they need people to grow their business. Big in the legal space with lawyers, attorneys, things like that, and also the real estate space. So specifically, we just gravitate towards really those three industries. But we do believe that our service could help anyone that needs people to grow their business.
Awesome. So do you staff just here in the U.S. or do you staff for people in other countries as well?
North America. So Canada and then the U.S. So nothing international over the pond. That's where we'd be. So we can do virtual, but we do stick within the North America region.
Awesome. So I guess like with your current role as a founder, CEO, like what does a typical day look like for you?
So it's changed a little bit in 2024. We've been pretty static referral business. And so we have had to do a lot of marketing or business development. So we made the conscious effort in 2024 to grow the business by 2x, which is added in some services versus just consulting. My part-time HR and my part-time recruiter. So we have those augmented services that now we can go and plug into startup companies where before we were doing all consulting. So my day now is kind of a hybrid of business development, strategy, as well as the execution, even though we have recruiters and HR professionals throughout North America. And we align them to the vertical when we get a new client. But I find myself probably about 20% operational. And then the rest of that time is going to be the strategy, the finance side, and business development for as we move into 2024.
So like how exactly, again, if it's a startup that wants to work with your business, it's like, what's an example use case of how somebody comes in and gets the most value from your organization?
So think about startup. It's pretty easy. You know, I'm in my seed money stage. I got a few people. We're starting to get stable and funding happening. The CEO, the founder, the COO. So a C-level person is doing recruiting and HR off the side of their desk. They've matured to a level that it's starting to take away from their day job. So me as a founder or CEO, it used to be easy to just recruit a few people and there wasn't many HR issues because I'm small. So that's really that gravitate where we almost go from that stage three or the BC kind of money that they're actually funded and we need people to grow our business. So now I can't do it off the side of my desk as a CEO. I need to put structure around people because I need people to grow my business. But my CFO or myself are spending now too much time on all of this human capital stuff. And it's taken away from my day job. And that's where we find, if we can find them in that sweet spot, we can come in and help them start building their HR department or simply start doing the hiring for them so they can go back to focusing on why they're in business.
For sure. So for organizations that are looking for that kind of help, like what would you say in terms of an HR department, right? Like what specifically, should they have to make them an attractive place to work and to stand out in today's market?
So our strategy, the reason we're in business, it's attraction of talent and retention of talent. So when we think about what we want, small companies traditionally they pay well, but what they're seeing is there's attrition. They're losing people, and as you know, that if there's a vacant seat, someone's either doing it or a release isn't going to happen because I don't have that DevOps or that back-end person, for example, in SaaS. So what they need, it's we believe there's three components to success. It's pay, benefits, and culture. And so as companies start maturing, they tend to get the pay piece right. But what we do is, and what we sell them on is, we can come in and help them with, they don't traditionally have long-term incentives. There's no medical, dental, vision plans in place. And that's what we're finding. They traditionally are leaving the company. Hey, we love working for this company, but it's costing me $2,000 a month for medical insurance, and I'm going to go for a family of four. So I'm going to go to another company that may pay a little bit less. So that's really our pitch to a company to say, let us come in and make sure that you have the culture you want, you're high tempo or you're slow to react, whatever that looks like. So we really focus on those three legs, which is pay, benefit, and culture, and helping them start building that for the retention. So back to acquiring the talent, and then how do you retain it? And there's all that human capital process that we go through, but those would be the three things that we would focus on.
For sure. So many organizations now are obviously, because we kind of spoke about earlier, right, hiring internationally. For example, we have people in the Philippines and Pakistan, and we're a US-based company. So, like, in your mind, how do you attract the best talent in a cost-effective way where many companies today are looking to save costs and hire people overseas?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because if we are in a global economy, and back to, hey, how do we cost per good, cost per whatever that is super important. That whole EBITDA margin of revenue and things like that. And so if I can get talent cheaper abroad, why would I focus on that in the US? So what I would, when we go in and do talent mapping, so what we try to do is help them figure out their organizational structure. So start whiteboarding out, here's the C-level, and then how all that kind of cascades down into what the actual organization is going to look like. What has to be on site or US-based, what doesn't have to be on site or US-based. And then you have to keep into how do you, so if you decide, my salespeople have to be US-based, they have to be in Boise, Idaho, versus they can be virtual, or they can be virtual and we don't care where virtually they're at. We start going back to, how easy is it going to integrate someone sitting offshore into your culture? Is it going to be easier for you to control your culture by have someone based in the Midwest versus in overseas somewhere? So we start walking through those conversations to ask them, you got to remember culture. And so are you going to have the same cultural different, are you going to be aligned culturally with some, with another third party company or even an independent? How easy is that to manage? And if they want to take a stab at it, we do. But what we find is, you may be based in New York, but you don't have to pay New York prices for a someone that can work virtually, like a technology headcount. So you may be able to go in the Midwest. So we'd focus on our searches to try to drive those costs down with cost of living and wages that you need to pay based on geographic locations within the US, and then bake it back into the ROI to say, is it still cheaper to go overseas? And so it's a tricky dribble, because we have to make sure that we keep the costs in mind, but there's another variable in there, which is the integration into the culture and the management of that person and things like that.
For sure. So, in terms of culture, like, what do you look for when you're staffing? Like, how do you make sure that, somebody's going to fit into the culture?
I think it's bigger than, so we believe it's the attributes and competencies that make people successful. The good to great model, if you're familiar with it, it's the right seat on the right bus, right? So if I'm fitting well in the company, then I probably am going to be more involved, engaged. That's why we believe in the human capital model. Business strategy to business results is the right people in place. So when you think about how, like, if you read a Google review and if you're not high, I didn't like this company because they're too high tempo, they're too quick, they change directions a lot. Well, that's their company. That's the culture. We are a startup, so we're going to go left and then we may go middle and then we may change to go right. Someone may not like that type of culture, but that is the culture. So it's not necessarily negative, but it is to that person negative. So we go in and we make sure that we're aligning the right fit talent from a fit perspective. Let's define what type of company you are and make sure that we push the right people into that, because not everybody wants to be that fast pace. This is what I thought I was doing Monday, and the next, my manager's over there and we're going some other direction, but that's the company. So it varies by company, and that's why at the beginning we want to ensure that we have the right attributes and competencies. We know what the job requirements, the hard skills are, and then more important, I believe more importantly, is the soft skills of how are you going to do that and where are you going to do that on a daily basis, and help the company define back to pay benefits and culture, that leg of the stool. We want to ensure that we're there with that.
How do you separate out like what somebody says versus like what somebody actually wants, like what they're capable of doing? Because I think in hiring, it's a big challenge. Like, if you're interviewing someone, they're saying, all these great things, but in reality, once it gets down to it, they might not be the best fit.
So I think Lou Adler is an admirer of my, I'm an admirer of him. He has the one question interview where you get the person talking, and I believe you start understanding what drives them as a person. You can see their energy level, so you're starting to get the fit factor. What motivates them? Why do they get up and comb their hair every single day? Because you have to. It's a tricky one. That whole behavioral. We believe in the STAR method: the situation, action, task, result. There's a model there that dovetails off of like what Lou is doing with the one question interview to get the person talking. You start seeing those behaviors of what are they doing in their free time? Are they ambitious? Give me just all of those connecting the dots is the STAR method. And I think when we do that, we can get pretty close. People are predictably unpredictable, right? So I'm not saying it's a method that is 100%. If we're on the fence, multiple people in an interview, and we're still on the fence of I'm not sure this is the right fit person, we do have a couple assessments like Myers-Briggs Predictive Index, which I believe does, I'm an analyst for PI, that it will predict your natural behaviors, and then folding all those two, the situational leadership, the STAR method, and then the behavioral assessment, it becomes a formula, and it's a risk assessment back to, hey, this is a low risk for us. Do we want to take a risk on this person? Because at the end of the day, there's no perfect formula for hiring people, but we do believe there's a surgical, strategic way to do that.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? Do you want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
For sure. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
It's a great question. I think it's the attraction to your product. I'm very networked with people, very meaning I've been around for a little while. It's again the struggle, just like when I support companies, them trying to sell a product or service, whatever widget they're doing, is one of the hardest things for them is how do you find the person that actually wants what you have? So when I started this business, I have, again, I've been doing it through people I know. Hey, JD or TA Builder does this for me. Let's just go ahead and it's an instant connection. So for me, it's the sell and the marketing of whatever product it is, because there is a market out there for, I believe, anything. You just have to surgically go find it. And knowing that beginning, I would have put more focus on the longer term business development strategy that we need to keep it where it doesn't do this. It's more like this, and it's steady state, it's growth, but it still has kind of a peppering in of a continuum of new business where it isn't quite as sparse. And that's one of the probably our biggest hangups right now. And then, it's an interesting year right now for us. So we're trying to figure out and navigate the new business with people. And we'll think about it maybe fourth quarter or first quarter of next year.
Makes sense. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for TA Builder?
I think for us, it's heavy. Our two new products again is your part-time recruiter and your part-time HR, and those are new products for us. And so I see those being larger because not everybody needs a full consulting come in and build this big HR department for me, or come in and build our talent acquisition department for us. We just need you on an interim basis, but we need that interim basis to be that we have a helpline, we have technology, that my manager's getting ready to promote or terminate or has some kind of HR they need to bounce off of someone. That's the my part-time HR. I see that growing exponentially. And then the my part-time recruiter, instead of just doing full service, we can pipeline people to them and keep them warm. So when they are ready to hire, they already have that warm lead there instead of starting from zero. So it's that sourcing arm, the passive active sourcing, which is my part-time recruiter. I see that one probably 2 or 3x of what it looks like today, and then my part-time HR to help them with pay benefits, Department of Labor stuff that they just need in real time help, but they may need 2 hours this week and maybe 20 hours next week, but they have a constant person that's going to help them. Those would be the two services or products I see if you were to talk to me in 12 months from now, would be in a growth mode.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
TABuilder.com has all of my information. It's got a Calendly link there. It has my email address. JD Hasna, right on the same on LinkedIn. I'm pretty fluid with communication. There's buttons all over, like most have on their website, but that's probably the best place is TABuilder.com. They can familiarize, hey, what does he do? What do they do? But then there's also all that contact information, which I've made it easy with my phone numbers on there, as well as the Calendly link. If like I was confused about your website or want more information, I just want to book time and it's right there for them. And we can do the same kind of intake conversation for potential prospects.
Awesome. Well, JD, thank you so much for your time today.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
Thank
Dan.
you.
Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. All right, bye.